Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.
Let's get underway.
Saturdays were made for this. The biggest names and the biggest games right here.
Triple M rocks the NRL.
Thanks to our mates at King G. Welcome to the Triple M Saturday Scrum.
Lovely to have your company, Brent Reed, Ryan Gerla, Tony Squires, and Mark Guy joins us. MG, g'day. How did you go? How did the boy go playing today?
They had a 20-all draw, Tone. The Penrith Jersey Flag against the Sharkies, which was a really good game to watch. So 20-all in a no golden point in Jersey Flag. So they walk away with the draw.
They're travelling well all over the shop, the Panthers. I read during the week they'd only dropped one game in the top three grades. Is that right?
Well, that's correct. And it was the Jersey Flag side against the Dragons.
The Dragons, yeah.
23-22. And, of course, it's COVID. The top 30 had to be isolated in the bubble. So the Flag team today had to have eight players from the SG Ball come up. And so some of the players in the New South Wales Cup couldn't play because they're in the top 30. So it was, it's all over the shop. It was a good game of footy, nice and warm out in the West. And great weekend of footy so far. I think I witnessed two of the best performances I've seen for a long, long time in rugby league, in Melbourne being just calculated against the Rabbitohs. And Panthers last night were equally as good, if not better.
MG, is it right Brandy's Alexander's young kid played today?
Little Braithy. Braithy plays for the SG Ball team, and they've obviously finished. So he was on the bench. He came on as hooker and played very, very well.
I love it. Yeah, you mentioned that, looking at that Tyre Power scoreboard, just a reminder of what has gone so far. As we said at the top of the show, the top five teams have all run around by end of Friday evening. The Storm, 50 over the Rabbitohs, zip. And the Panthers, having a look at that, think, well, you can do that. Hold my beer. Panthers, 48. The Sharks, nil. And then, of course, in what was ultimate carnage, and I'll just, before I go to you, MG, get from Reedy what has happened in this. The Eels, 31 over the Roosters, 18. Lots of injuries. Drew Hutchinson, of course, was the worst. He is in hospital. Give us the detail on what has happened.
Yeah, obviously that's the big news out of it. Tony's got a punctured lung, couple of broken ribs.
Yep.
He's in the trauma ward at Westmead Hospital at the moment.
The trauma unit.
So he's not in the good way, Drew Hutchinson. He'll be in there for, I'm not sure how long, but for the foreseeable future. And obviously a couple of charges out of that game. Dylan Brown's been charged over that contact on Drew Hutchinson. He's looking 3 to 4 weeks. And Nia Corre as well over the shoulder charge on James Tedesco. So he's looking at 2 to 3.
And the bunker?
Well, obviously all the officials involved in the bunker last night have been resold for the weekend. They're out of action this weekend and probably justifiably so given the oversights they made last night.
Yeah, they had plenty of time, as we said, to have a look at that, the knees in the back. Nothing happened until after halftime when, kind of retrospectively, the Roosters were told, well, yeah, he has actually been put on report a little bit too late. What did you make of that, MG?
Yeah, not good. Not good. It was, the knees in the back were, I don't think, intentional for one bit, but they're very reckless, very reckless. And you've got a guy in hospital with punctured lung, tells you how hard they were hit. New Corey's in a bit of trouble too, as you just mentioned, the bit of a shoulder charge on Teddy. If Teddy had broken his jaw, you might have been hearing a lot more about it. But it was a physical game, and the Roosters are just kind of hanging on by a thread. You sense, even though they've been very, very gallant for the last couple of weeks with the injury list to rival anything that we've ever seen before, they still keep coming back for more. But yeah, I think young Dylan Brown and Nia Corre are both lucky they didn't get sent from the field. If they looked at it again, they might have, the send-off was in vogue for a while, and they've put that back in the bag. And obviously Dylan Brown's wasn't even penalised when it happened, and the bunker should be penalised for it because that's what the bunker was brought in for, to make sure that things don't go wrong. That's our wicketkeeper. That's make sure that we don't miss these howlers, and that was a howler.
The James Tedesco thing, many people say that, and he does physically, he does lower his body. Sometimes he falls, and therefore it can be an accident. But it is, the duty of care is on the defender. You just can't hit the head. You can't hit the head, certainly with the shoulder, like it happened there. And, no matter where his head is, your shoulder or arm can't be, I think, is the same as that.
And I think the issue is that there wasn't that, the wrapping, well, I think he's been charged with it wasn't with his shoulder charge, was it? It was with, I think, careless high tackle. So they've obviously deemed that wasn't a shoulder charge, but the fact is he made contact with the head, as you said, and that's sacrosanct in the modern game. And he's looking at a stint in the sidelines as a result.
And finally, MG, just your take, because we were talking about the Raiders and their week. And I know that on the rush hour earlier in the week, you put the red pen through them.
I did. I thought when I saw one of the players' wives openly, you know, chastising the coach, I thought, uh-oh, there's trouble. We've got trouble in Houston. And then we kind of, this snowball from there, we learned that Josh Hodgson had given up the captaincy a couple of weeks ago, and Croker had gone off social media because he's being hammered. And yeah, it's kind of gone from really bad to worse for the Raiders in a short space of time. And the only thing that can fix it is a couple of wins back to back. But they're playing an equally desperate Newcastle Knights team this weekend, who want the game as well. So, yeah, it's a long way, isn't it, from when they were in the grand final a couple of years ago? It seems like an eternity. I had them up in my top four. I had them. I might have even had them playing in the grand final against Penrith this year. Or I think I had Penrith and South maybe, but I had the Raiders being perennial top four team this year, but they're looking like they might even make the eight, which is something I would never ever imagine at the start of this season.
Brent Reed, where should we start? Well, should we start with...
Everyone knows that jingle, Reedy. Like, everyone.
Really?
Yeah, it's my ringtone.
I should make it my ringtone, shouldn't I? Really?
Yes.
Well, that's a bit self-serving, isn't it?
It is. Narcissistic.
Yeah, a little bit, isn't it?
Do you have, like, a personal number plate on your car? Just
no, I'd like to mail. Get... I'm thinking about getting just one, though.
Yeah, the mailman.
I think about getting one. I like that, yeah. Good shout.
Do you really?
No, I want to get one. My brother's got one.
What's he got?
I can't remember. I don't know. No, he's actually he's worked it out with the letters and numbers, so it's not Reed, but with I think he's got the number three.
That's
sort of
stuff.
He's been a bit clever about it.
He couldn't afford to get the actual word letters, so you get the numbers.
Well, he could. He's driving a Beamer. I think he's going all
right. So there's some deep-seated family issues.
Yeah.
Trust me, Rudy, don't do it. I did it back in the early 90s when I was a mug lair, and I had MG01 on my brand-new Mazda MX-6. I looked like a buffhead. Wow.
Whereas as soon as you took the number plate off, you didn't look at all like a buffhead.
I just look back and I think, what was I thinking? Come on, man. What are you doing?
I'll take that advice on board. Girds? Did you have girds?
No, I didn't. No. Someone else did.
There's a Christmas present for girds.
It's coming.
Grinder.
Anyway, let's start with Adam Reynolds. Adam Reynolds, he's been a discussion point for most of the week. Adam Reynolds, look, there's a lot of talk after Thursday night and South's performance that South may revisit their offer to Adam Reynolds. People were suggesting they should. They won't be revisiting Alpha. It's for the simple reason this, that it's not a matter of they don't want to give Adam Reynolds 2 years in particular. It's a salary cap issue. The salary cap hasn't changed in light of losing by 50 points. The salary cap situation is the same. So South won't be revisiting the one-year deal to Adam Reynolds. So it looks as though Adam will still be leaving.
But isn't there a...
But their salary cap might have changed, but their priorities haven't changed either?
No. No, it hasn't. Okay. They want to keep Adam Reynolds.
They've got a business plan.
They've said that from day one. They want to keep Adam Reynolds.
Yep.
He's a priority for them to retain. It's just not... They can't give him beyond 1 year. That's the issue.
But doesn't that result say that life without Adam Reynolds is a little bit bleak?
Yes.
Well, I don't know. Well, Tone, they also had out Latrell Mitchell.
Cam Murray.
Cam Murray.
Yep.
So,
four of their best players, yeah.
Four of their best. Like, it was 35% of their salary cap was on the sideline the other night. So, whilst, yes, they would have, I'm sure they would have loved to have had Adam out there. There were other players who I think, who they've invested a lot of money with in going forward, Murray, Mitchell and Graham, who, as I said, they've invested the money in those guys, and that prevents them investing a hell of a lot more in Adam Reynolds moving forward.
And what about the Broncos idea with Adam Reynolds? I heard that 4 years, the Sharks got the three-year idea, he would go there maybe, but if a fourth year was on offer.
So I checked on this on Friday because the whisper going around is that Adam wants to go to Brisbane. I'm told that when Adam retires anyway, he wants to move to the Gold Coast. That's been a long-range plan of his from what I'm told. And that he's got a genuine interest in going to the Broncos. When I speak to the Broncos, they're very confident that they're well and truly in the picture for Adam. Now, the story was that Brisbane had offered him four years. I'm told that's incorrect. What had happened was Adam and his camp raised the idea of 4 years, and Brisbane, I'm told, said, no, we won't go to 4 years. It's a three-year deal. So that's the version I was told. But at the moment, Brisbane will not go beyond 3 years. But as I said, they've grown increasingly confident that it may happen. And I know Cronulla were hoping to hear some news over the weekend on the Adam Reynolds front. So, look, I don't think this one's going to – I think we may even get a decision in the next week about Adam Reynolds. And
okay.
At the moment, I think Brisbane have probably got their nose in front, but we'll wait and see how it unfolds.
Retiring on the
Gold Coast.
Makes
a good halfback, doesn't it? Makes a good scrum-based duo with Katani Sags. I know he hasn't played much 5-8, but the kid's a footballer, and I think he'll turn into a really good number six.
Well, he's a great keep for Brisbane because the suggestion was last week, as late as last week, that Katoni was leaving. There was a couple of clubs that were obviously in for him, and the talk was that he would leave. And I think one of the clubs was extremely confident they were going to land Katoni Staggs a week ago. So that was important for Brisbane. They kept him.
Okay. Has anyone seen Katoni pass? Just a question without notice. I think he's a great footballer as well, but
he's a runner with
Jack
the ball.
Whiten, and I think a lot of people are comparing him to Jack Whiten, and Jack does a great job now, and he moved, he developed his kicking game, but he has always played at fullback where he's always needed to pass out the back of shape. But, you know, at six, you need to be able to definitely have a pass in your game. Running's crucial, but so is, you know, a short pass and a long pass and some sort of kicking game.
Yep.
Otherwise, you know, you just put so much pressure on the other guy in the halves, which could possibly be Adam Reynolds, to handle all of that. Now, at South Sydney, he doesn't have to handle. You've got Latrell who kicks well, and you've got Cody on that left-hand side that kicks well, and Adam does the majority of it. But if he's not there to do it, you know, and he can relax because he knows he's got other guys that can handle the role. But, gee, I'll tell you what, it's a big play paying him big money and saying that he's going to be your number six. I hope it works out for him. But it's rolling the dice.
Yep. All right, we talked about there's lots of injuries going on at the Roosters. What about TJ Perenara? Is he the cavalry?
Well, it's been a bit of a saga, this one, hasn't it? It's dragged on for a while. Look, it looks like I think the Roosters are growing a bit more pessimistic about this happening. I think they're pretty hopeful a week or so ago, but it looks like it won't happen now. TJ Perenara, and there's multiple reasons for that, but the Roosters could certainly do with him. But at the moment, it appears though they're losing the fight to get. Convinced TJ Perenara to switch codes and try his hand at rugby league. So that's a bit unfortunate because I think we all, given his reputation, we're looking forward to him playing in the NRL. But it looks as though at this moment it won't happen.
All right. And what about the business of the Broncos?
Yes.
What's going there?
Well, this has a potential to turn to a really big story, Tone. The Broncos minority owner is a guy named Phil Murphy. He owns 22% of the club. I spoke to him on Thursday. I'd heard a rumour he was selling it. He said no. He subsequently thought about it overnight. He's now put the club up, that 22% up for sale. It's about 21 million shares. The issue there is that I'm told once someone bids to buy more than 19.9% of the Broncos, they are required to launch a formal takeover bid of the entire club. So that would mean they would attempt to buy a request, ask News Limited, News Corp, who's the major owner of the Broncos, whether they would be willing to sell the club. As I understand it, News won't do that. But, you know, if News did decide to do that, we could see new owners of the Brisbane Broncos. But at the moment, I don't think they've got an appetite to do that. But you can buy 22% of the Broncos if you've got a lazy 10 million or so sitting around.
Okay. Well,
yeah.
I was going to ask Ben G.
10 mil?
Yeah.
By a share in the Bronx.
Well, maybe ask Benny Elias.
Yeah, a loan from Benny.
Obviously, Benny's looking to lead a consortium to buy the Tigers. My understanding is this probably won't happen, but, you know, obviously Benny loves the Tigers and they're a club that struggled a bit in recent, for the past decade.
So they're 50% of the West Tigers.
50% of the West Tigers.
Who owns that at the moment?
So West Ashfield own, I think they've got the controlling power, West Ashfield Leagues Club. I can't remember how the ownership structured because there was an issue when Balmain didn't have the funding to pay for it. I think West Ashfield bought a greater stake, so they own a lot more of the club than the Balmain side of it, if Balmain owned any share of it anymore. So I don't think they're in any hurry to sell out West Ashfield.
All right, and just quickly, we know that Mav, AMG's boy, is running around. You said the Greg Alexander son had a hit out there today. Another son of a name. What's going on?
Well, this is interesting because Dylan Brown's obviously facing a 3 to 4 week suspension this week.
Yep.
And one of the backup halves at Parramatta was a kid named Jake Arthur, who's the son of Brad Arthur. So potentially we could see him come into contention to play first grade next weekend.
Wow.
Jake Arthur.
Goes good, I hear, too.
Is that right?
Very good, yeah.
Viliami Kikau, who joins us right here, right now. G'day, mate.
Hey, mate, how are you?
Very well. Congratulations. The caravan just keeps rolling on. Must be full of confidence at the moment.
Yeah, thanks. It's been really good. Nine wins now, so we're just going to keep it going. Still got a lot to learn, and hopefully keep that winning streak going into next week.
And was the coach most happy with the 48 or the nil against?
I think it was the nil. I think we've been working really hard with our defense throughout this year and then in the off season as well. And yeah, he was really pleased at how we defended the whole night, keeping the Sharkies to nil.
Billy, just you boys just playing with a smile on your face. You seem to be enjoying everything about it. You seem very fit. I think that's the one thing that really hasn't been spoken about this team, that you've got to be so fit to be doing what you boys are doing week in, week out. Is there something in the off season that you did that you maybe haven't done the last couple of years that you can pinpoint why you blokes look so fit on the rugby league field?
I think in the off season we did a lot of fitness as usual that we do in the off season, but I think we used a lot of footy as well. Everything we did was all footy related. I think that really helped us as well. I think sometimes in the preseason when you just do a lot of running without the footy, and then you come into the season and then you just making those errors and that, dropping the balls. And I think that's one of the things that really helped us during the off season. We trained a lot. We did a lot of fitness, but there was heaps of footy related stuff as well.
One of the real reasons you guys are going so well, James Fisher-Harris up front, he lays a platform. It was great to see him score his first try in 50 games last night.
Fish is really consistent with his footy every year. Year in, year out, you just see how he plays. He leads from the front, as he said. He just lays that platform for, even all the other middles just... I think plays good when they see him play good, play that well. He's been really good for us. He's the leader in the team. He's the leader of the pack, and he doesn't really do a lot of talking around the club. And, I think he does his talking on the field.
Hey, Kicks, Ryan Girdle here, mate. Congratulations on a great start to the season. MGG spoke about leadership. There's a few voices out there, I'd imagine, on the weekends. You've got a guy that I'd imagine like a chat next year in Luai and Nathan Cleary on the other side. Who's the most dominant player out there in relation to, getting you guys where you need to go and setting up the plays, getting to your kicks and so forth?
Yeah, I think Nathan does a lot of that. He's a different player. He's so easy to play alongside, and he just directs the boys and the middles. When the middles are fatigued in the middle of the first half or second half, it's just so easy for them to lay the platform when he's just telling them where to go. So, and you got Jerome, as you said, he's on my side. I think Jerome is just all eyes up footy. He just sees what's in front of him and he plays. He doesn't care about anyone around him. If he wants to kick in the first play, he'll kick. If he sees some space or anything, but Nathan, he does all the steer around the puck for the team.
But as a forward, it must give you a lot of confidence just knowing that you can go out there, do your job, and those guys have got control of those really important parts of the game plan.
Yeah, 100%. We just that's what we talked about before the game. Everyone just do their role. The middle, just lay the platform in the middle, and obviously, me and Capes and Mara in the background, we just do our job. And, everything comes off clear. If he wants to kick early, we just get on the front foot there and make sure we get down there with our kick chase and we defend. And makes our job a lot easier.
Hey, Viliami, we all know how COVID's affected the world. You're a long way from home. Have you been able to get back there recently, and what's that like being so far from home for you?
It's a bit hard because every year I used to sort of plan my trip back home after every season. So whenever we finish the season. I always that's one of the things that I look forward to, going back home and seeing all my family, mum and dad and that. And yeah, obviously with what's happening around the world, you know, last year I didn't get to do that, and obviously this year as well. Just been, you know, on being thankful for social media. I get to video call them on Facebook and stuff like that, just to keep in contact. It's been really challenging, but you know, it can't do much about it. Hopefully the borders open up soon, and yeah, get to go home.
I bet when you do get there, there's a lot of love for Viliami Kikau amongst the kids and the people of Fiji.
Yeah, I'll get a few calls from just, you know, all the kids riding the bus along the, if they see me along the street, or Suva, or anywhere, you just see people calling out, those little kids calling out the window, Kikau. it's a good feeling, but yeah, really can't wait to get a chance to go back home.
But you've been really embraced by the Penrith community. They're a great community, and especially when you're performing the way that you are. But being 6'4" and having, you know, yellow hair must make it hard for you to go to the plaza or get anything done out there. You'd be mobbed 24/7.
Yeah, you know, I'm always thankful for this, you know, bubble, because it gets me just to stay home, not to go anywhere. So it helps a lot. I don't really go along. I'll go a lot. Go out a lot anyway, because yeah, we have a good community here, and you know, we you know, just go around the plaza and you just see people, spend with people. They just take photos and everything. So yeah, I just try and stay home as much as I can.
Give us a little bit of an insight, Billy, on this young man called Brian To'o. He ran for another 300 metres last night. He just seems to be the energised battery, the little rolling ball of thunder. What's he like away from the footy field?
Yeah, I think just the same thing. He's just full of energy. He gets in the morning with his big speaker, and he just, you know, everyone just still trying to get their head in, get their head in and around training, and he just walks in with his big speaker, him and Jerome, and you know, the volume is up at the max, and they're just playing their music. Yeah, just full of energy. He's full of energy, Biza, around training. And it's, yeah, when it comes to game day, he definitely does his job, gets us away from the yardage carries, and, yeah, scores some beauty tries too.
Billy, I mean, I'm not going to take the 4 points off you, but exactly how much downward pressure on that ball did you get last night?
Yeah, oh, I definitely felt my hand touch the ball, and I felt the ball touch the ground at the time. Yeah, stood up, sort of half celebrated, because I wasn't sure if the referee was going to take it to the bunker or not. But yeah, I definitely touched the ball to the ground. So yeah, I was happy that the bunker caught his try. So I'll take that.
You guys, the ultimate disappointment at the back end of last year, young side, it was a Cinderella story, and everyone, you know, thought that you might have gone on and got the job done. It wasn't to be. The way you guys have responded to that this year, and you're now the hunted. Every side you come up against, they put their best foot forward, and you guys, week after week, just find a way to get the job done. What's the mentality like within the group? What do you guys focus on through the week? And is it just that you guys love putting on the jersey and getting out and playing together? What makes you guys tick?
Yeah, as you said, you know, last year we just felt like we were getting bullied around by some of the these teams in the comp, and obviously we just really a bunch of young blokes playing footy out there, and you know, we were getting pushed around last year, and in the off season we really just really worked hard on being ruthless, I think. That's one of the things we've brought into our team culture, is to be ruthless. And when we go out there, we just want to compete. And, yeah, compete till we give that last whistle in the 80th minute. And I think we've been doing that in the first 9 rounds. You know, one of the, I think, biggest teams that we've played this year, one of the biggest games was that Melbourne game. And, yeah, we didn't win it till that 80th minute. And then that Canberra game, as well. Yeah, we're just trying to be ruthless, and we're just trying to compete this year. You know, we've come in, and we know that every team is just going to try and hunt us down this year. And yeah, as you said, we're just going to keep finding a way to win every week.
Is this the year for the Panthers fans?
Yeah.
Is this the one?
It is, mate. Hey, it's just the
gonna get it done?
Early days. It's still the early days, but yeah, we're building to. We're building for a big year.
Doing a great job, buddy.
Yeah, good, you are indeed sitting pretty at the top of the table, and you're doing a brilliant job individually. Viliami Kikau, thank you so much for joining us.
Cheers. Thanks, guys. Thanks for having me.
Absolute pleasure. Playing great footy, and as I said, in a team that you sense it's special out there. And there's a few other teams there, obviously, at the weekend, including Melbourne, but, boy, it's hard to look past the Panthers.
I think what's so special about this team, Tone, is the fact that I think last night or the week before maybe, there's 14 out of the 17 started their first grade career at Penrith. So they've all come through the same age groups together. They've all grown together, and they're expressing themselves so well on the rugby league field. They're playing a brand of footy that's just so contagious to watch.
Yeah. To watching, as you said, Brian doing a little bit of dance while he was
waiting.
Running 300 metres and dancing.
He's got to be the Origin winger.
Yeah,
he's got to be. Absolutely. He's got to be. You've got to find a spot for him, surely.
They forced seven or eight dropouts last night, and just on one of the ones with 5 or 6 minutes to go, the camera went on to Brian Toto. And he was just having a little boogie there on his own. Didn't even know the camera was on. He's just moving and shaking.
They are really, really good to watch. No less than Josh Adokar. First player in 71 years to score 6 tries in a game. Just have a little listen to how he went.
Adokar coming through. Adokar got there. That's a wonderful Melbourne try. Adokar looming up. Adokar gets it, taken, but slides over. Grant the dummy. He's got Hines looming up. Grant goes for the corner. Oh, he's got to Adokar. Adokar's got 3. Here's to Adokar. Here he goes. Adokar has 4. 1, 2, 3, 4, all before half time.
Unbelievable.
Adokar Zola, and Adokar has 5. Josh Adokar has 5 tries. On the line, hides the bullet, and Ola butts off one. Yeah.
I love that call, and wasn't sure. I was listening to somebody score tries or have their leg amputated.
Or something else.
Full on, absolutely. And we certainly learned to count to 6. It's amazing, isn't it? It was Jack Troy who was played for Newtown and East who last did that job. I guess he had the same thing as Josh Adokar. He was a professional sprinter, didn't make the Olympics, and then started to play rugby league and scored those tries for Newtown against the Roosters, as we said, 71 years ago. It's a phenomenal effort, isn't it?
It sort of goes back to when we broke that game down a little bit before and saying how the Melbourne Storm, there's just so many different ways that they can hurt footy sides. And it's not always through the middle to start the game. And the last couple of weeks, they've sort of gone with a strategy of play with, you know, a little bit of an expansive nature. And that just, you know, that just allows Josh Adokar to get himself into the game. And whenever they get into the backfield, he's there to convert. And I think you've got to give it a fair bit of credit to Justin Olam, who that part, I mean, over the last couple of years, he's really developed as a player. And we've seen defensively, he's a guy that no one wants to run at. And we know how hard he runs the football with intent. But yeah, the last 6 months, but definitely early part of this year, and especially after that game against Melbourne where he decided not to pass to Adokar that probably would have won him the game, he's really worked on those skills and they are paying dividends.
I've got to say, you're going to go?
No, you go, buddy.
I was going to say, the Bulldogs haven't had a lot to celebrate this year, but I reckon their supporters would have been watching that, cheering him home every time because he's a winger, but he'll dramatically change them with Matt Burton coming as well. And yeah, we spoke to him after the game, actually. He was really good talking after the game about how he's become a leader down there and how he's embraced that side of the game. So he's going to be a big in.
Well, he's a personality. Year, yeah. So you don't just get what he does on the field. You get a guy that, you know, people want to be around. He's infectious. His character is. And I think that's exactly what the Bulldogs need.
Yeah, it was one of them things, wasn't it? We were there watching it. You see, I've never been live at a game when anyone scored 5 tries, let alone 6. And, Olam, it's very hard. I think one of the best plays in the game is the 2-on-1 and drawing and passing. It's a lot harder than people think. You see it a lot in first grade. The ball gets charged down, or the bloke dummies and gets tackled. But he done it on 3 or 4 occasions to put him in for a try, and he timed it perfectly. Olam just timed it perfectly so that Fox went in untouched. And Harry Grant around the middle. Jerome Hughes is probably the most improved player in the whole of the competition. He just gets better every game.
Yeah,
just like watching him play. He's such a competitor. But you've got to take – their big forwards have got up front. Welsh was fantastic. When he came on, Finucane was fantastic. So, yeah, I toss a coin and I look at the Penrith performance. I look at the Melbourne Storm performances over the last two nights. And you can't separate them.
The good sides, they pull the trigger, don't they, in what you were talking about there. Any momentum that's going through the middle of the field, they go. They're set in their positions and they're ready to attack both sides of the field. And that's exactly what Melbourne and Penrith do. And that just doesn't let the opposition defensively ever get set. They're always sort of, passive and on the back foot. And when you've got guys with this sort of attacking prowess, you give them early ball,
absolutely,
they're hard to stop.
But, Gudge, we were talking about, Ryan Pappenhausen, what an amazing player he is. Nicho Hynes,
wow.
He comes through and does a similar job. Phenomenal. As soon as they get in there, the system works.
I'll tell you what, the guy we didn't mention as well was Cameron Munster. Yeah. He was unbelievable on Thursday night, Cam Munster.
Yeah.
He always is, isn't he, really? Like, yeah. I mean, he's always in the game.
Every week.
He very rarely has a bad game. It's just when he doesn't have a 10 out of 10, it shows out because he's such a great player.
His goal kicker needs a bit of work, though.
Yeah. Oh, what about that? Like, and Gerd spoke about it on Thursday night when we covered this game, how the big three left. And you can imagine it would have been different dressing room scenes with these three around, with the Smiths, the Cronks, and the Slaters. A little, like, very serious, you would imagine.
Yep.
Now they've got this new breed coming through, a bit like Penrith with, Billy Kickout just spoke about Luai and Brian To'o. They come in with a ghetto blaster. We imagine that. You saw him before the game the other night, Brandon Smith doing karate. You saw Harry Grant, him having a bit of a chuckle. I think it's given Craig Bellamy an extra 3 years, 2 or 3 years of coaching because he's loving it.
Yeah.
Do you think Cameron Smith watches the games with a beer in hand and says, gee, I thought they might have missed me a little more?
I thought they might have just missed me a little bit more than they are.
A little bit more. And on the other side, obviously, there's some people wearing skivvies who are doing all the stats saying that at 50-0, the Rabbitohs can't win a grand final because nobody has. Nobody's been beaten, had 50 notched up against them during the regular season, has won a premiership.
Yeah, I'm not going to put a line through South Sydney. Obviously, we mentioned Adam Reynolds before, but they're missing Latrell, and I think he's their most important player. Cam Murray, Campbell Graham, Josh Mansour, Jackson Paulo. I mean, they had 35% of their salary cap out the other night, unavailable. So I'm not going to put a line through South Sydney. I think they're one side, one squad that can break that curse.
I'm putting a pencil through them.
Pencil?
I've got a rubber
HB,
ready.
What sort of pencil is it? A thick
HB,
line?
Yeah, HB.
HB,
thick,
yeah,
thick, okay, lead.
And if it's wrong, you'll rub it out and go, I never did that.
Exactly. I didn't say that. Yeah. What are you talking about?
Just back your convictions, MG. That's what I love about you.
Triple M rocks the NRL 24/7 through the Triple M app. Thanks to Ream. Steady, hot and strong. Install a Ream.